Everybody, thanks for tuning in. It's Grant, and I just want to say mop flies suck. I just needed to get that out there. But what we're trying to do is we're going to do a few episodes. We're going to call them in-betweeners, and we're going to try and focus on Midwestern small business fly fishing companies. So we've got rod builders. We've got online, musky fly stuff. We've got feather guys. We've got fly guys. And I really want you to take a listen, and I want you to reach out to these people and talk to them. If you need gear, if you've got questions, these are the people you can reach out to. You can actually talk to these people on the phone. They will help you out. They'll answer your questions. You know, find them on social media, shoot them emails, visit their sites and buy from them. It's, we always talk about buying local. This is your chance to do that. We're going to put their links in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back with full episodes, earlier in the spring. But until then, check these people out. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Like a 30 pack of hams and maybe a 30 or 24 pack of Coors Lights. I'm going to make that the new beer of 2021.
Oh, are we switching to Coors Light?
And get everybody drinking Coors Light from PBR to hams to Coors Light now. This is going to be a scientific experiment.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday evening. I knew it was April Fool's, but B, I didn't know it was the Thursday before Good Friday, which is like a holiday for some people. So thank you for taking time out of your
Not us. The only holiday we're worried about is May 1. So
hey, there you go. There you go.
And April Fool's. We had Muskie Fool, April Fool. We had to get involved a little bit.
I liked it. Jar of slime. Just use that as like an aftershave. Yep. Keep that going on for a while.
There are some people emailing us like, I'll order a case. And I'm like,
sure. Let me check.
Yeah. It's not going to smell like slime. It'll smell like Christmas pine trees, but
that one was good. I think Orvis did a nice job with their dog waders.
Did you see Temple Forks?
I didn't.
The cicada cannon, new rod.
Oh no.
I thought that one was funny. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, they did something like, we've been working on this for 17 years or something. So it was well played. Definitely well played.
And I think, what was it, Mad River?
Yeah, they did.
Was it like some sort of like doctor? It looked like a dry
liquid or something. They did like flavors of the, I call it Flyagra. But he did that one. Super straight face. He did a full video and everything. So yeah. I think it's fun. Some people get all beat up about it. And it's just like, come on, let's just have a little bit of
fun. I think it's really funny. It's always, if you get on the internet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you still haven't figured out it's April Fool's, you deserve everything that's coming to you. Yeah. Like, there's so much just BS out there. I think my favorite one, it was probably 5 years ago, was, I think it was Federal Ammunition, did a video about having a camera on the front of their bullets for like live tracking. And I had buddies back home in Wisconsin, like sending me these links. I'm like, guys, come on. You were just born today.
Well, to your point, like 2 PM, I guess I'm a little more strict. Like we've been, how many years has this been of like online? And it's like, it's almost become a little old. So right. Yeah. There's really no excuse to just have a little fun with it.
Yeah, but Orvis played it right because they posted it.
Yeah, Orvis was like, someone, I was up, I'm a night owl, and it was like 12:01. It was like, boom, it was out there.
So it's like kind of not April Fool's yet.
Yeah, no, they were ready to go. But what's been going on with you guys? You guys are, I saw a little love in the Musky Facebook today, which I'm happy to see.
We have a fan. Matt, that posted like the Musky Facebook group, like, is there any of these guys from this podcast in here? And I'm like, oh no, like this is bad.
I've gone how long without revealing myself?
Yeah, exactly. we have a fan and he wants to be friends and share beers with us. So
that's why we do this, right?
Exactly. Exactly. All right, guys, welcome. It is an episode of what we're going to call Inbetweeners, where we spotlight really cool businesses across the Midwest that focus in fly fishing that you should probably pay patronage to because they're fishy people. They probably have drank a Hams or three in their day. And yeah, they deserve, or today even, they deserve your money. So they deserve your money more than Cabela's or Amazon. And guess what? The people we're going to talk to also ship to your door. So you don't have an excuse. So welcome to the podcast. We've got Dan and Jen from Musky Fool.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having us, guys.
Golf claps. And for those of us or those who are listening, don't know, what is Musky Fool?
You want me to take it? So Musky Fool, it is one-stop musky fly shop, kind of the original first crazy enough to be a musky only fly shop. You know, that's all we fish for everything. We love everything, but like musky kind of all the time. It's been that way for as long as we can remember. And, especially when we started chasing them on the fly, it really started to gray everything else out. So that's kind of the gist. If you gear, flies, you name it, musky on the fly, we hope to have it. And we hope to get people into it that haven't tried it. And yeah, that's kind of the high level.
When did you guys start?
September.
We launched September 2020. Amidst the pandemic. Yes.
So was this a pandemic baby that came, or was this, you know, in the works for a while, wanting to do?
Yeah. This is COVID baby.
COVID baby. We kind of concept the idea over the summer. Really hit us in July is when we knew we were going to go for it. And then we launched in September. It just moved really fast.
Yeah. I helped by quitting my job so that we had to
figure it out. Thank you.
That was how I helped the family make a good decision. You know, kind of, as we say in startup world, built the plane as we're trying to fly it. So that's kind of what we did.
I think that's the only way to probably get it done correctly. So I hope, like, in your 2 week notice or however you decided to quit, was there a line that says, because I've decided to sell bucktail, colored bucktail on an online platform?
No, there wasn't, but it was close to that. So just like the real brief, I was for the last 10 years have been CFO of a couple of healthcare startups, you know, the classic venture capital back, try and grow really quickly. Awesome companies, cut my teeth on a lot of things. And I left and had really no plan. And then we concepted it. And then when all those people found out what I was doing, they were
like, oh.
The nice ones were confused, but the other ones were like, what is Dan smoking? I mean, frankly, they were just like, what happened? And I kind of relish that because it feels a lot better having a blast and, you know, finding something that doesn't feel like work.
You know, and I know a handful of people that I went to college with or kind of grew up with that work in that healthcare software world. And I know they look at my fishing habits like a drug addiction, like there's something wrong with you. So I can totally see where you probably got a lot of those funny conversations or looks along the way.
Yeah. A couple investors called and asked if I wanted to join another startup. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm selling bucktail. And
did you try and spin the conversation and be like, actually, I've got an investment. Invest in me. This is where you want to be.
How would you like to buy some deer butts?
Yeah, exactly.
Deer butts and pink chicken feathers.
Yeah, yeah. They would have no idea. It wouldn't even be worth explaining.
No, it's gonna take about 400 years to hit the dollar mark that which your software venture probably will be. But it's all for the blue collar worker. That's who we're here for.
Guaranteed to lose your money, but make you feel good. So, yeah.
So what does Musky Fool sell?
Want me to take this one again?
Yeah.
So we started out with, like, again, kind of that building the plane as we're trying to fly it, just really as much musky goods as we could, musky fly fishing goods, rods, reels, line, flies, you know, and all the kind of peripheral gear that goes into it, nets, bump boards, like what you would want in a fly shop, but, you know, musky focused.
Which I would say kind of started, that idea came from really when we were on this trip and getting ready for this trip. And over the years, not being able to have that one-stop shop for the gear. When you're leaving, when you're getting geared up, no one, you couldn't just go to one spot and do it. So that's really how we knew we were going to get started.
Yeah. And I think musky, because it's been a little bit of a cottage slash basement industry in the fly fishing world, you know, kind of the ugly stepchild of conventional and fly fishing. There were a lot of these other cool companies that weren't the major brands that we tried to highlight, you know, Chippewa River Rods, Woof Rod Co., Primo Tail, and then just do some basic stuff like a musky size net, a musky bump board. And then, you know, again, trying to just start lean because frankly, some of the vendors also thought we were crazy.
Yeah, I was just going to say
musky fly fishing, really.
It was pretty amazing that we got it started in 2 months, really, because when we got back in July, Dan started making a ton of calls and it was the initial response was like, you're going to do what? Or are you just doing this for a personal discount? Like,
right. There's probably plenty of that, you know, everybody's looking, wants to be on that bro staff to get that percentage off. And
especially because we knew we weren't going to start brick and mortar. It was too much of an upfront investment. And during a pandemic, being online, we could reach so many more people. But when you hear that pitch, people are like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was like musky and online. It was online wasn't as bad because it was like we were September pandemic. Basically, every fly shop was selling online at that point anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they gave us some looks. Some of them, you know, had a lot of faith out of the get-go. They were probably musky fishermen. And we had people tell us like, you guys are going to, like, you're going to be out of business, you know, this isn't
dust off the resume.
Yeah. So I don't know, that's more of a chip on our shoulder than a wind in the, you know, against us. So,
oh my God, so many expressions.
Yeah. Sorry. They might not make sense. I'm taking
notes.
I have a list of Danisms of like expressions that he just totally gets wrong. So.
I feel like those could pass over to a buddy of ours that makes stickers and those could be like musky Danisms.
Yep, I'll keep my
look. It'll be fun. So you guys were on a musky fly fishing trip when you decided to make Musky Fool. Is that where it's pieced together?
Yeah, our wedding anniversary is in July, and we always try to go on a trip. We used to always go out west, but recently we've been like, why are we going out west? We could go up north. So we went north and musky fishing. We couldn't do a ton of fishing because it was so hot. It was like 80 degree days, 80 degree days. So we were trying to be super careful, but we were technically on a musky trip.
Yeah, it was more of a float down the river and, you know, avoid the dive bombing of deer flies. That was cool. Actually most of the trip. So we had a lot of time to think and talk.
Yeah.
They suck. They bite you and they look like bees. So you're like, can I hit it? Or am I going to get stuck?
And part of that was like, we were in Hayward, which as far as I'm concerned, and most people are concerned, that's ground zero for this. You know, you got two musky capitals of the world. Well, they're both kind of in the same, you know, a couple counties apart.
Yep.
But that's when, you know, we just looked around the kind of landscape of like, if we can't get what we need in freaking Wisconsin.
Right.
State fish, you know, the record where the record fish have been caught, at least the old records. Then where's this going to be?
Well, it's not to say there aren't great shops.
Yeah, we have great fly shops.
Yeah, they
great
just fly don't shops. Go deep into musky stuff.
So. Yeah, and we were only, you know, this is kind of the plug we'll make. Like, we came up with the idea, we executed the business, but this is all on the back of, you know, those crazy frontiersmen who decided to go chase them on a fly a few decades ago. Because they got probably the same looks, if not more. Like, you're going to be crazy. You're going to be out on the streets. Yeah. And they persisted. They did it. They got people into it, and enough people now where there's a pretty big community across the country, which we've been, you know, Washington State to New York. There's people doing it. There's people planning trips and putting it on their bucket list and everything.
That's great to hear. Yeah, and it's, you know, I would say just, you know, in the last 5 years, the ramp up that I've seen, you know. in the Midwest specifically, but, you know, getting to know you guys and, you know, that Eau Claire crew over there. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's these constant conversations you're having with guys on the East Coast, you know, and sharing ideas and all this, and this community that I think that surrounds musky fishing that I don't see nearly as much in trout fishing, right? Trout fishing, I feel like, is still a little bit more of that tweed jacket, you know, patched elbows kind of stuff, where the musky fly guys are like, oh, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We can share some ideas, because we're all kind of banging our heads against a wall trying to do the same thing, but let's try and help each other out.
For sure. Well, and I think some of that comes into that, what we call that little ugly stepchild syndrome, like, you didn't fit in. But there's parallels. Like, the musky world is a little bit, you know, the conventional world, like, it's usually people that musky fish and that's all they do, or and that's kind of, I think it hooks you, man. It's especially in the Midwest, you know, love fishing for bass, love fishing on a good trout day, but it gets in you a little bit, and it really, so that's our thoughts on it, at least.
Well, I'm glad you guys are taking it on, because yes, there was definitely a need, for it, you know, and I'm up in Blaine, Minnesota. So I've got like 3 fly shops really close to me. We've got Bob Mitchell's fly shop. Bobby's always got a really nice selection of musky on the fly gear. You've got the Fly Angler, / Thorn Brothers. They've always got like a decent selection, but I think the issue is within our area, that stuff gets bought out so fast and constantly that because they just maybe can't carry as big of a stock of it. But you guys step into the game, I'm like, there's always this option to be able to, because I feel like, again, like I was saying before, it's not Amazon. It's not like you're ordering from Cabela's. You know, there's 2 people across from the Zoom from me that like started this e-commerce platform that you can go to and buy materials from and know that's actually going to the Midwest and not, you know, well, maybe it's you guys are shipping it overseas for like a vacation home in Fiji or something. I don't know, but
we've sent some feathers to the pike fools.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I hear you. I mean, if you get an order from us, it's been packed by one of us. It's been, you know, written a note by one of us. And hopefully that'll change as we grow, but we want to keep that feel.
And the goal is it's always in stock and you can get it fast. Like, we try to ship them out super fast. And the best, it's so fun to hear from people like, oh my God, your website's too easy. Like, I could just click buy, like, take my money. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. But it's, you know, like you were saying, a lot of good fly shops, and they also have to gotta cater to everybody. They're kind of the you know, the front door of fly fishing for most people. Like, they're gonna go book a trip with Bobby and probably fish with Aaron, and that's gonna be their first ever experience fly fishing, right, for trout. But like, it's got to start somewhere. We all started. You know, I don't encourage people necessarily to start fly fishing for muskie. Unless you really know what you're signing up for, but
unless you want to be done fly fishing after like a year,
yeah. Right? You're like, wait, why did I spend all? You don't have to spend a ton of money, but why did I spend all this money in fly gear and I haven't seen a fish yet?
Yeah,
why? But,
yep. Why does my elbow hurt? Really?
Yeah, why does my elbow hurt? Are you getting your Tommy John surgery yet? Is that coming up?
I just had tennis elbow. From casting those freaking 12 weights all season, and just needed to call it quits, do some PT, and get geared back up. But yeah, that'll happen. You know, that'll happen. Especially
that's why water loading is okay.
Yeah, it is. We don't hate on that. You can cast whatever you want. You can cast whatever you want.
If it gets there, it gets there.
Yeah,
exactly. Whatever gets to fly into the water.
Yeah.
So, you know, over the last 10 months, what's been your favorite part about opening muskyfool.com?
The community, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds kind of like, oh, the people we meet, but that's definitely it. Like, you get to tap into that and meet you know, we knew some folks before we got in, but we kept it pretty low key. We were just fishing when we had the time, and to meet everybody and to hear that feedback, like, thank you, this is awesome. Like, that keeps us going for sure. That's.
But also, you know, like-minded. So you're like, oh, we're not so crazy. Someone
right,
else does
right, right, right. No, exactly. Exactly.
That's fun. Yeah.
So that's definitely the best part of it.
For sure.
Just cause, you know, it's kind of like every one of these female male anglers that are going after muskie, like, they have that little bit of that muskie fool in them. And, you know, we started this cause we like to fish for them, and that's still the case today. So it's not when you get to meet those people, it's pretty sweet. Like you guys. So we're having a blast.
Well, again, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to hang out with us for a little bit.
This is more fun. Yeah, for sure.
So so Jen, are you the one that planted the idea of muskie fishing in Dan's head, or did he have to drag you along on this crazy endeavor?
No, he didn't have to drag me along. Dan started fishing, I don't know, when you were really little. I dabbled, you know, like a little bit off the dock, carp fishing, bluegill, whatever. And then we kind of learned fly fishing together. We moved out to Madison. There's great fishing out here, trout fishing. And then we just kind of blended the worlds because you've been going after muskie for years.
Yeah. I mean, born in Wisconsin, you know, uncle and dad's taking me up north. Mm-hmm. Like, you're bound to encounter it. They, I think, got bored with walleye fishing when I was pretty young. So luckily it was like musky as long as I can remember. So then, as Jen said, when we were in college, it's almost a decade ago, we were like fly fishing for trout in the Driftless and musky fishing conventionally. And, you know, this is...
We just had to bring it together.
Yeah, like Zero to Hero just had hit the film tour, and you kind of had this world kind of explode onto the scene. And it was just like, what? What is this? And, you know, didn't pick up a trout rod for a few years after that. Didn't pick up a conventional gear rod ever since. And then I guess they say the rest is history.
I definitely have. No, he didn't have to drag me though. I won't go hunting, but I love fishing.
Yeah.
That I can get on board with. I hunt because I like to fill the freezer with some tasty food. But
still do.
The process of hunting for me is not my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, I feel like when I'm in waders and fishing, I don't get full of ticks. Every time I go like prepping for hunting, it's a 20-minute process pulling ticks out. I don't enjoy that. I know Gore-Tex doesn't advertise this, but I feel like Gore-Tex makes ticks stay away from you. So maybe I'll just start using that when I'm out hunting.
Body warm. There's
some marketing. Yeah. You really sold it for me though, let me tell you. And that's why I'm like, nah, I'll be on a boat, waders. Yeah. Good stuff. Not a lot of girls though, which I didn't really think about before this. I was just kind of like, yeah, I fish. And then once we got more into it, it was like, hello? Anybody out there?
But we, on our last episode, we just talked to pretty accomplished female, like toothy critter fisher men, women.
They got bigger fish than I've ever caught.
Yeah. Kelly Kallick. She's been in the muskie game for quite some time.
Kelly's then, of course, so thank you, Kelly. That was a good episode. I don't know if you listened to it.
And then Hillary Pinella, I think I'm pronouncing her last name right. She's, I think, on the chair. She's the chairwoman, Matt, of Minnesota Women on the Fly. She goes out and hammers huge pike on the fly. Like, awesome. Like, so I think if you're looking for a group of women to get out fishing with, I would definitely reach out to them. I know there's a handful of other anglers in the Midwest. You know, Mike Kreider, I know his wife, Abigail, she puts up numbers, big toothy critters too. So they've all caught like way bigger fish than I have, which is fun because I'm like, I can't hold a stick to that. But
yeah, I think I know Abigail's name because of the muskie she caught. Like, I think I've seen that muskie, if I'm not mistaken. I don't
yeah.
check me, but I'm pretty sure. That was a big old muskie in that story.
Yes. That was one of those days where I think they went out and, I don't know, boated like three or four fish. Like, well played, yeah, guys.
It's insane. Yeah. Whatever they're doing, whatever they're drinking, it's working.
Because yeah.
It's that cookie dough from Quick Trip. Because I talked to him a few months ago and Chris is like, we get that confetti cookie dough from Quick Trip before we go out. And it's like musky scent. I'm like, well,
musky juju.
It's that musky juju. Maybe that's what you guys can sell. Musky Fool is that get those cookie dough balls.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. I don't know how to infuse the quick trip juju into it though. We'll have to figure that out.
When we have a real chapel, we'll cookie dough.
That's a good. So is that something maybe in the future for Musky Fool is a little brick and mortar?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's for sure what we're building towards. Timing of the pandemic. And just seeing if there was a market there. And then, so that was like, yeah, we want to, but we couldn't make the numbers work. And then Madison has kind of like slowly, you know, lost its fly shops. Orvis was really the last bastion of fly fishing we had here. So yeah, we definitely think it's in the future.
But right now we're 5% maybe of our sales are in Madison, which is crazy, right? Like
really?
Oh yeah, we're shipping all over.
Yeah.
So it's Midwest, hard to justify
Tennessee.
It. Yeah. Yep. It'd be fun. I mean, it'd be fun. It would definitely be fun to do. Yeah. So it'll be down the road for sure.
And I think it would have to go beyond Muskie. And that is a blessing and a curse because there's more, you know, more fishy people that you get to meet, but we'd need to bring some folks in that were as passionate about trout and bass as we are about Muskie. Because like I said, I'll fish for trout, but I can't have the same vigor talking about size 20s versus
right.
Dots, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's got their thing. So
very true. Very yeah. true. I know some very, very passionate bass fishermen up here too, which I didn't think was a thing until, I don't know, a couple, three, 4 years ago. But then you go out smallmouth fishing a few times with a fly rod and you're like, oh, I get it. Like this makes sense. These are not the smallmouth I used to catch when I was a kid, like no. off the dock.
Yeah.
River smallmouth are a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, I got to dip out real quick. It was nice to meet you. Grant, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, I look forward to this episode and I checked out your website and it looks good. Nice. And if I ever need any deer butts or chicken feathers, I'm going to hook you up.
There you go. You know where to find us. Have fun out in Montana, man.
Yeah, we'll see ya.
See ya.
See you, Matt.
Bye.
What else was I going to say?
Bass fishing, good stuff. That's what
we're bass fishing, good stuff. Oh, so when you say up north, when you were with your family fishing, what does up north from Madison mean?
Just, Jen, can't you follow yourself north?
So,
Manakwa, Hayward, you know.
I was going to say, so like I mentioned before, I grew up in Manakwa. So, well, Arborvitae. I won't claim Manakwa. Arborvitae is way cooler. You know, it's always everybody's like, oh, we're going up north to a cabin. Like everybody I ever met throughout college or throughout my, we've got cabins. I'm like, I know you know somebody who knows somebody who has a cabin somewhere probably within 5 miles of my house. Yeah. So I'm always curious, like when people say up north, what does up north mean?
Yeah, I'd be curious. I'm sure when you tell people you're from Manakwa, they're like, people live up there all year round? Yeah.
Year round residents?
Yeah, yes. It's like, have you ever been to Manakwa? It's like Manakwa's almost, you know, you got to go farther north now to get away from the people. Yeah.
It's insane. Do you guys pick up the new boat?
Yeah, we got it. It was all smooth, man. I hear all these stories and I kind of feel bad. I want to like say something because it was great. It was smooth as ever. We had a little issue with the oars. They're sending us new ones. Didn't even blink. So like we're excited. We've only got it wet once. Going to go coming up here. Well,
nice.
Yeah.
But, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're excited.
Good.
Yeah, Dan fell off.
Yeah, we don't need to rehash that. We don't need to.
Oh, please. Please. Please tell me more.
I'll tell the story. Okay, so we're.
Tell the PG story, please.
And Oh God, there's so much. So I'm rowing and we're kind of turning a corner, round in a bend, and Dan catches fish. Great. This is great news. But he loses the fish and kind of the momentum just tips him backwards right off the boat. I don't even know why it happened so fast. And we're used to our clacker craft where, I don't know, you got a little more bumpers going on. And it just like, before I could even blink, he just goes ass first over. We're in deep hole. So it's perfect, right? Cause he's super tall, but there was plenty of room to fall in.
Yeah.
So he goes all the way in and all I saw was his hat float right to the top. And then he comes out of the water, like doggy paddling with his wading boots, like behind him. And I'm like, dude, you can stand, like stand up. And he's like, we can't tell anybody about this. And I'm like, no, yeah, no, we can. And then he brought his rod in with him. So luckily we had floating line on that we could see really easily. Pull the rod out, sunglasses totally gone, phone soaked, whole body soaked. And we were only halfway through the float probably, right?
Yeah. So if you, yeah, if you were in Baldwin, Michigan and you saw two idiots on the river,
one idiot.
Hey, I'm Dan.
What section did you guys float?
Just the what's the main one right there?
Where you Rainbow. Put it was it the Rainbow Falls down?
We didn't get all the way down there. It was just
we went okay. down to Green Cottage in Gleason.
Yeah, it was just we took out of Green Cottage the 37.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So yeah, that's you know, you make me sound like I can't even stand up in a boat, and I like to remind people that there was a lot of you know, we were on vacation and we were in a state
having fun.
Legal things that are fun. And I was overserved. So
that's where I messed up my timing of when I got into Michigan and when I was going out, nothing was open.
Oh.
I was like, this is disappointing. I'm like, I've got this nice little locked storage area that I could have filled up with treats for a while, but I was like, no.
It was we enjoyed treats, it. Yeah. We had treats. We had some. I mean, you got a fly shop, stealth craft, a boat landing, and green door right on like a mile. It's just like what a. There you go. Have fun. No,
the best part was the whole day. Dan was like, "This raft is so stable." Like, he was like, "This is amazing." He's like, "It's just like our clock craft," and then
just like it.
Yeah. Oh my god! That like 2 hours later, does he go? Soaked, just soaked. And luckily it didn't get through to your base layer. So he had his base layer was still dry.
Yeah. And then we just pushed all the way in, got real nice and toasty. It was all
good. Oh yeah. That'll pushing will keep you nice and warm. But yep. I had never been on that river before. I was super surprised of how deep those buckets are. Like, and they're like, we're just going to push into that and then we'll hop out. And I looked down like, holy shit, dude. Now I understand why Steelhead just stacking this thing.
Yeah. And it's like, I was like, you know, I think we got to fish with Chris from Stealthcraft the second day. And, you know, here I am with like kind of driftless style steelhead fish and a little tungsten beadhead. And he's like, dude, pull out your split shot and put like four of them on.
Yeah. Like daisy chaining down. I'm like, the guy. If
it doesn't work, add more go deeper.
Yeah.
Cool river.
The guy I was fishing with, he handed me a center pin rod with a big float on it, and then just put, there had to be 8 pieces of split shot on that thing. He's like, just let it go. And I hooked into one, and for me, it was an impressive hook set, like hard hook set. And then it popped off like 10 feet from the boat. And he goes, you know, you probably should have set the hook harder. I'm like, how hard do you want me to set the hook? He's like, everything you got. Which he's is, like, I'm like that. I just can't.
Yeah. Right. You're going to get right out. It's like, not a big hook.
No.
Yeah.
You could find the good holes though, because the trees above were like graveyards.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's so, I'm like, that's a
I was actually going to mention that. I was like, do you think we could start a fly shop just for picking glowbugs and floats out of the trees on the pyramid cut?
Oh, yeah. There's thousands of dollars easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a good to know. Like if you're out there fishing and you run out of something,
just start floating.
You really could.
Yeah.
You could reach out. I don't know why people don't retreat. Yeah.
Because they're like, they're a buck and you just. Just put another one on.
I'm like,
click that
like
trees. That's where I'll be.
what's the craziest part that you guys have learned about the fly fishing industry since you started up Musky Fool?
Good question.
Like behind the veil stuff, you're like, whoa, this is a thing.
There's a couple of them. I'm trying to rifle through which ones are not okay to share, which ones are okay.
Right.
I mean, I'll say this, and I'd say it to their face. I probably have, like, there's not a great reputation of musky on the fly, both because it's a little crusty and also because it's like, get out of here with that crap. Like, that's not real fly fishing. And I've had vendors say that to my face. And that brings a smile to my face, though. It's just like, you've probably never done it then.
Right.
And, you know, that's that, like, that belief is why we exist in some sense, like, because people think that. And I'm like, okay, sounds good.
Let me prove you wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just like, that's why this, like I said earlier, this cottage industry kind of had to be a thing, because the rod makers wouldn't make rods for it, and all, like, the whole nine yards. And it's definitely come along, like, huge in the last 5 to 7 years.
Yep.
But there's still that very much fly fishing is a river runs through it. Don't tell me otherwise. And,
right.
That's probably the one I came up with. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Ryan.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Jen, you get to go first. Most memorable fish you've ever caught.
Ever.
I don't care if it was on a Barbie pole or a cane pole.
I should still have a Barbie pole, though. Why don't I have one?
St. Croix makes probably the closest to what you can get in an adult Barbie pole ever. See, if you're interested.
I do have a pretty good chip rope.
Yeah, you have a pink chip rope.
Oh, well, okay. Sold.
It's gotta be. I know what you should say, but it's your you fish. Tell it. No, you got it. She has a crazy first musky story. Yeah, crazy.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah. So you might as well tell it.
No, I'm not going to tell it. Well, I don't
know. Let me get you started.
Yeah. Open. You know how you kind of like black out? Like,
she did. It was full. I'll punch you in, and okay. you can tap yeah, in whenever you want. You got to tell my falling in the river story.
Yeah, this is true.
So it, like, Jen had been, this was probably like, you know how some people start musky fishing and then they catch a musky right away and they're like, that was so fun. Jen had the opposite of that experience. It was a year and a half. Musky aren't real. Fuck this. The whole nine yards. And it was opening day. I mean, this was like several years ago, but opening day, Northern opener. We're up kind of in the Presque Isle area, which is tends to be where we spend that time. And it was opening day and it was like shitty musky day. So we were actually, we were like doing the whole bass fishing with wire, literally like, you know, your two or three inch streamers. And it was just like right in the hole. It was clearly a musky, ate it.
And no, what happened was...
There you go. See, I just had to get it going.
You're telling the story.
Cue it up.
What was the fly that I had on called Drunken Disorder?
Yeah, it was a Drunken Disorder.
Oh, like, yes.
But like a real size one, like a trout like size one.
Yeah. Yeah, let me see.
I think this is a D&D. This is a Andy Selvig.
Yeah. It was olive and green, or mustard, kind of yellow and green.
Yep, exactly. And that size. Except I call it Lil Wayne. Don't know why.
Yeah.
I love that new name, actually. I will use that moving forward.
It was green and yellow, and it was when the song, like, anyway.
I've actually named all of our flies, but before we launched, Dan was like, you need a green name because you can't say Beyonce. But I really wanted people to, like, call and be like, I need to get 3 Beyoncés and 1 like Kim K. But Dan didn't let me do it. See, he likes it.
Get out of here.
I call and order the funniest shit, but whatever. So Lil Wayne's my confidence fly in this situation.
Hard to have a confidence fly when you haven't caught one at this point. But Lil anyway, Wayne
is the right name. And I'm not kidding you. I literally am still stripping line out. And Dan's like, where'd your fly go?
Yeah, it was like just, you know, fly on the water, getting it out.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're musky on. Like, it was just like that. And we didn't have wire on. So snapped right off. Like, I couldn't even really like get my act back together before I could strip line back in, strip set the fish, and then snap the line, the whole thing just gone. And so I'm thinking like, that's it. That was my shot all this time. Mug fusky.
You didn't say those words. Yeah, I was about to say. I was wondering.
Mug fusky. Yeah.
Yeah.
About right.
And then the 10 weights came out. The wire came out.
Got serious.
Thankfully, we had some more D&Ds. And
yeah, bigger with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Big Wayne. I'm just kidding.
Big Wayne.
And then she actually, you caught that fish again an hour later because we like, yeah, we gave some time. Strip set left a lot to be desired. And
how do you practice? Like, let's be real, you know, like you
practice in the springtime with panfish is how you practice.
It just, it's, you know, the definition of lake to table. It just goes. Yeah.
It was rough,
but third time's a charm.
Third, like, who gets three shots at a muskie? Nobody. That's pike shit. Like, that just doesn't
happen. Yeah, that's true.
And so,
three hooks in, like, it was,
I got lucky.
He knew we were there.
I got lucky in that sense because he was obviously coming for it no matter what. We gave him some time, like an hour maybe even in between, and came back because I wasn't going to screw it up a third time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, got it, bought it, screwed a lot, and just was really scared I was going to lose the fish. And then once it was in the net, I think it hit me of like, oh my God, thank God. So it was super, super
we had exciting. The my favorite memory of it was, I mean, we still get this way about muskie. I hope I never stop getting this way, but this was like super special. She had been working her ass off for it. Jump hug, bear hug, screaming. Like, people came down to the river. Like, are you guys okay? Or like, yeah, we're great. We're fucking great. You know, so it was, it was good.
And then I was like, all right, do we keep fishing or we
Yeah. What do I do? I don't know what to do with my hands. What do we do? What do we do now? That's awesome. Yeah.
So she earned it. Like, honestly, that after you missed it the second time, it was like dark. You know, you probably been out on the boat. Everyone's like, it was like, I'm done. Like, this is so stupid. What am I wasting? You know, start over, repump yourself back up.
But it's so worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. You had a really good one this year too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, we both told that story because it was a good one.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I, you know, it's just one of those things where I think we've all said 1,000 times, catching muskie with other people is just the best. Like, it's one of my favorite things in the world, whether like I was the person to catch it or I get to watch somebody else do it. Like, the level of stoke that is either on the boat, or there was a time where I was on shore randomly filming the boat, and the level of stoke that was between the island and the boat. People are screaming, falling over, almost falling out of boats, and just, you know, everybody's like high fiving.
It's the closest thing you get to a team sport in at least Midwest game. You know, we're not out running trolling rigs and big boats on the lake, but yeah, you need a net man, you need an oars, you need your buddy in the back to get his shit out of the water. Like, yeah.
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 You tell the story for so long. I don't know. It's something about it.
Yeah. I love how you're still like a little like speechless about it. I'm like, this is like a long time ago. And you're just like,
blacked out.
Yeah. Kind of blacked out.
Did you guys go celebrate at the PI pub afterwards?
The PI pub. Dude, the PI pub isn't even there anymore.
I know.
It's not?
No, we got to go to Anglers. Anglers in Manitowish.
So the guy that owns that is actually an old guy. Paul Abram. Actually, I played volleyball with him.
Anglers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We've changed the ball a lot. Last time I was up there, he wasn't guiding enough anymore. He wanted to be fishing.
Probably not. Yeah. I used to play volleyball with him when I was in like high school and college, and still go back there and stuff after school. And Paul's a good guy.
Yeah, he is. We like that spot. We go there probably Memorial Day for as long as I can remember.
All right, Dan, your turn. Most memorable fish.
Most memorable.
Barbie pole to cane pole.
Did you know Barbie pole? Like a Batman pole?
He looks more like a Barbie pole guy.
Yeah.
Come on, this year's.
That wasn't it. I mean, like,
it was memorable.
I'm trying to think.
That's definitely it.
No, it was probably like one of like my earliest memories of catching a muskie. That like I was, you know, like I was going out with dad and uncle to catch a muskie. We actually somehow, we don't have access anymore, but somehow we were on, and I'll name it because you can't get on it. We were on Armour Lake, which is up in the Presque Isle area. Private, totally private, loaded. You know, there's so many freaking lakes up there. You go in any of them, they have muskie.
Yeah. None of
them are much better than the other. They're all good. But yeah, it was just, you know, classic. Like I had never really caught one. You know, I had the, like, dad handed me the pole when I was six. Bullshit. That doesn't really count. But I was probably about 10 or 11, double cowgirl, black with silver flash. And it was just like what I had pictured in my mind as a kid of like lily pads, bringing it back, figure eight. And it was just like that probably had a lot to do with getting me hooked. Cause it was just like that, what you want, what I still want when I'm thinking about where I want to fish and, you know, to be there, dad and uncle. And, that was a good one. That's kind of where it all really, that's where the bug really started to happen. And then, you know, it faded for a little bit in those weird college years,
yes.
but it came back with a force. So that was probably it. I wish I remembered more about it, but it was, you know, it wasn't big. It wasn't huge. It was probably like 35 inches. I held it like a complete dickhead, like, but it was so good. It was so good. So yeah, I still have that black and silver double cowgirl. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, in the way that you said, you know, you found it after the weird high school and college stuff. And I feel like there's a lot of us that did that. Like, you know, I took time off from like the age of, I don't know, 15 till I was 24, 25. Cause I don't know, I didn't really give a shit about fishing anymore. I just wanted, I don't know, drink beer and skateboard and play a diet.
Treats.
Who knows, right? Treats.
No, I remember, like, it's weird. I remember still going up on like the annual trip, and I was like a little bitch at 16, 17. Like, I was just like, I didn't really want to be there.
Right.
I,
you
know, like, I hate that memory because now it's like, man, those are.
If somebody invited me on a trip to Presque Isle, Wisconsin right now for a muskie lake weekend, I'd be like, yes. Where do I pay? Like, sign me up.
Yeah.
And that's like my home area. I'm like, yeah, I will, any excuse to go back. Hell, I'll go fishing anywhere, but any excuse to go back up there.
I didn't grow up there, but I like, those are my first memories of fishing. And, there's something about it. It's much different than other spots of the state where you got a lot of beautiful rivers, which we'd love to go fish, but
yep.
There's just so much, whether you're in the border, you know, on the border in Wisconsin, like, it's awesome up there. It's awesome.
Well, and I never chased a muskie until I was probably my senior year of high school.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not what me or my friends did. We were walleye fishermen. At that point, we still had really good populations in the Minocqua chain. So we could go out and catch a limo walleye and make fish tacos every night if we wanted to. Like, and that was our Christmas break during college. Like, hey, let's just set up. You get like 230 packs of bottle schnapps, some tortillas, hot sauce, and we're just going to make fish tacos for like the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we should do that this Christmas
break. Oh, it's so much fun.
Up there though, man. It's not the same walleye fishery.
If you can fillet a pike, you can do fish tacos.
Yeah, and I don't even fillet them. I just do the old cigar and pick them, and that'd be yummy too. But.
Picking them's good. That is good. If you've got a good cast iron pan, you know, slabbing and then pulling the skin, sticks to the slab. Or cast iron pole is actually really nice too. All right, I'm trying to think. Do you guys have any events or anything like that coming up? I know you guys just finished up with the last kind of like Zoom session thing. I know it's tough because we're in a pandemic. Obviously, no in-person events.
We're playing the in-person by ear. We actually were very close, but it just wasn't the right thing to do. Kind of do a little road tour of, get down to Southern Muskie country. So we still have that. Hopefully that can kind of be the winter 2021, spring 2022 plan. It's just kind of go see all these people that we've met and that have supported us and hopefully do a little fishing. As far as events go, we got a lot of good feedback from the Little Muskie webinars that we were doing. And we want to keep that rolling. We love doing it live with people because you got a little of that interaction. And I think that's what people liked is they could ask, Matt questions and Eli questions and Brad questions. And it was like, all we were here to talk about was Muskie.
Right.
And there's so many other guys out there, not just fly tires, guides that we have kind of lined up. So I don't know if it'll be announced by the time this airs, but stay tuned. We definitely want to keep that going throughout the season a little bit. So,
okay, awesome.
Big thing right now. And yeah, again, it's play it by ear. Show season got canceled, all the Muskie stuff got canceled. So this will all hopefully change, and we'll have a calendar to give everybody of 2022 events.
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to a little normalcy, especially, we all like going to shows. It gives us all a chance to kind of sit down and BS together and see new fun stuff, right? So hopefully we get a little bit back towards that as we move forward here. But by the time this airs, we've got Southern Wisconsin opener. We'll have the Northern opener as well coming end of May. So if you guys need anything, go visit muskiepool.com. Give Dan and Jen some of your hard-earned cash, or maybe not your hard-earned cash. Maybe it's just your stimulus fund money and you just want to spend it on a new rod, or you need that new net, or some flies. Because if you're like me, you hate tying musky flies and you'd rather buy somebody else's flies, and they have them. So talk to these guys about it. And I'm willing to bet if you shoot them an email, they'll probably even email you back.
To say, even if you just want to talk about Muskie, the number on the website, I'll be picking up and I'll probably talk until you want to get away from me, because I can go for days on it.
That's perfect. Well, I want to thank you guys again for hanging out with Brown Trout and Bridge Beers. Again, by the name, you would think we're not Muskie fools, but at least one of us is. I probably more than Matt. But we'll get Matt. I'll get Matt in the drift boat this summer. Probably get him hooked, and then we might have to change the name of the podcast.
We can help sponsor that if you want. We'll just no, perfect. Dude. What you guys are doing? Keep it rolling. Don't change a thing. It's you got something cool going on. So
again, like I said, I appreciate it, Jen. It was very nice meeting you, Dan. As always, very good to talk to you and everybody. I'll say it again: muskiefool.com. Go buy something. They got sweet hats too, stickers, all that stuff. You want swag, you can go there and get it. Support a local company, and we'll talk to you guys on the next one. Thanks. Sounds guys.
Hey, Grant. Thank you, man.
Yeah.